Well, we have a real treat for you. Full disclosure, I've known Chuck for a long time, and he's been playing piano for a long time, probably for most of his life, and has a great love of arranging music and presenting music and really celebrating music. And particularly today, it's going to be a celebration of music from Pittsburgh area composers, some that you may already know, some that may surprise you a bit. We'll talk about the composers and the songs, but first we're going to open up with one of Chuck's own compositions. Here is Chuck Vida. Isn't that beautiful? I know from some notes that Chuck gave me, that song is called Michael's Lullaby.
Yes, that's right.
Who's
Good morning.
Michael? Good morning.
Michael's my first son.
I thought that might be the case.
It's 31 years old, so that's a 31-year-old song. So happy birthday, Mike.
That's incredible. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself and playing piano. I always, when it's somebody I've known for a long time, I don't want to assume anything. I haven't seen Chuck in a long time, but I know you've been really involved working with choirs and also playing and arranging. And I'm just
That's
curious
true.
how you got to where you are musically. What did you do?
First of all, I'm married and I'm with my wife, Lynn. We live in North Huntington. And we have two grown married sons. That's Michael, my oldest son, with his wife, Elizabeth. They live in Pittsburgh, 10 minutes from us. And my son, Matthew, and his wife, Kate, live in California.
Oh, my goodness.
So and we have one 10 minutes away and one 10 hours away. However, started playing music by ear, kind of picked it up when I was 11. And one of those ear players broke all the rules and then sort of learned them along the way afterwards.
So, wow, that's hard, I would imagine, seriously, too. So you were playing elaborately by ear pretty early on?
Sort of. It was interesting. You had to learn how to, one of the things you didn't realize where you could be, coloring outside the lines and that sort of thing. So, yes.
Were either of your parents or anybody else in your household musical?
Not really. It just showed up one day.
That's pretty neat. So you went on to school, and then you've always played, though.
Right.
It's a big part of your life.
Yeah, it's always been in my life. Obviously, got a business degree. Didn't want to starve, so I haven't given up the day job just yet. So.
Well, you're not alone. A lot of folks, there are many people that don't want to do what gives them great pleasure as the sole means of living, because it sometimes that takes some of the pleasure away.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk, before we hear your next song, you did manage, you were talking about sort of backfilling some training, if you will, or studying after initially learning on your own. you spent some time overseas?
No. Never been overseas. No. That's coming up with one of our composers, but I'm domestic. I'm a Yinzer.
Oh, I see the notes. I'm looking at notes for one of the musicians that you gave me. I was going to say that I did not realize that if that were the case. You worked here with other musicians?
Yeah, I just picked a lot of things up from other musicians. You learn from your mistakes. You learn from all of your experiences and then try to make it your own.
Absolutely. Well, the first composer most people think about, he's been in the news a lot lately, but a man of Pittsburgh, born here, buried here, and Stephen Foster is his
That's
name.
Right.
And what can you tell us about him?
Well, he was born on the 4th of July in 1826, and he's known as the father of American music. Pretty much spent his life primarily in Pittsburgh. Grew up in Lawrenceville, middle-class family, 10 kids. Was taught by a German musician, but also, since Pittsburgh was beginning to be a melting pot, picked up a lot of different cultural emphasis, and that's where his music became unique and American. As I read, he was considered to be the first pop artist, and his first breakout year was 1848. But he was also a few things that you wouldn't know about Stephen. One of his lifelong childhood friends was an abolitionist named Charles Shiras, and a lot of the themes of his music were about for all people, and of his time. In his music, he tried to show compassion and understanding in his lyrics too. Never made a lot of money with his music, and that's mostly because there was a lack of copyright laws. Fell on hard times and unfortunately died at the age of 37 with only 38 cents in his pocket and a scrap of paper in his wallet that read, "Dear Friends and Gentle Hearts." He's one of the couple composers that I've found that are buried in Pittsburgh area. He's in Allegheny Cemetery. So,
yeah, he really had a meager life. It's incredible. And that's true of a lot of composers who we know now. Some you think they were famous stars in their own time. And in his case, I don't think he had – he had fame maybe, but not riches.
He had fame. His music was known far and wide, but never made much money on it. Unfortunately.
Well, you're going to play a song or two from him. What will they be?
First one is sort of a combination. It's "Oh, Susanna" and "I Dream of Jeannie." It'll be a couple short snippet pieces, and it's sort of an updated version. I hope Stephen's not turning over in his grave after he's done hearing this. So.
Here's okay. I don't think that grave can move.
Okay.
Here is Chuck Vida. Stephen Foster and "I Dream of Jeannie." Always, that's such a beautiful song of his. I want to correct myself, by the way. He actually died in New York City. I think I mentioned he was born in Pittsburgh. I think I said born and died in Pittsburgh, but he was in New York
Yep.
City when he died, but was buried here in Pittsburgh. If you're just joining us, Chuck Vida is here. Good morning to Lee, by the way. Nice to have you tune in, and thanks for the kind words. Chuck is taking us on a bit of a musical travelogue here. We have an itinerary taking us through Pittsburgh. And what's next?
Okay, this next gentleman, his name was Ethelbert Nevin, and he was born in 1862 and picked up just about where Stephen Foster left off. He was sort of like the second rock star of the 1800s. This is sort of a whistle stop along the journey. His family was fairly well-to-do. He was a child prodigy at 11. He attended Western University, which is Pitt, and left after 1 year telling his family that he'd rather be a poor musician than an unhappy businessman. So, okay. This is the person that studied in Europe.
Okay. I don't know this person very well. Yeah.
Well, you might recognize the music. I just have a little snippet. I kind of picked it up a little bit by ear here. But it's his critics said he had a touch that brings tears and it is in interpretation rather than bravura that he excels. And he really kind of got around. He was in Europe, studied in Europe, played with the greats there, came back to New England, came back to Pittsburgh to help his mother out, went back to New England, and then unfortunately died of a stroke at 38. So another person that didn't live very long. He was buried in Swickley, and then they moved his grave to Maine in 1938. So this guy kind of got around even after his death.
I see in your notes here he was honored on a postage stamp.
Yeah, that's very unusual.
Honestly, so it's Ethelbert Nevin or Bertie Nevin, and born in Edgeworth, little bit close to Swickley. What are you going to play?
It's a song called Narcissus. It's from his collection called Water Scenes, and it's just a short little snippet, but you might recognize the melody. You never know. So here goes.
Interesting. Nevin, Nevin, Bertie, or Ethelbert Nevin. Chuck Vita's taking us on a bit of a trip through area composers from the Pittsburgh area, some very well known, some not as well known. The next one you have here is another name I'm not too familiar with, Leo Robin.
Leo Robin, very interesting gentleman. He was born. So his mom and dad's name was Max and Fanny Finkelspear. And I don't know if they converted the whole family's name to Robin or what the backstory was there, but I thought it was interesting to see his name. Lived in the Oakland area. He wrote poetry and graduated with honors at Forbes High School, which I don't think exists anymore. But his dad wanted him to be a lawyer and went to law school at Pitt, but didn't want to be a lawyer. Instead, wanted to be a reporter, and he ended up being a reporter for the Pittsburgh Chronicle Telegraph. And one of the things as his assignment was to be advice to the lovelorn. So in his advice to the lovelorn, in his column, he had various topics, and most of it was about love. So most of his topics of his lyrics were love, love, and love. So he studied drama. And by the 20s, he'd moved out of the city and moved to Pittsburgh he moved to New York to be a playwright. Then he signed with Paramount and headed for Hollywood and teamed up with another composer. Actually, I think a lot of times they were sort of working collaboratively, but it was a little bit different back then. Ralph Ranger, since Leo could write words and Ralph could write music, I'm sure they collaborated a lot. It was considered to be an accidental career. He felt himself a poet, a lyricist. It was sort of something that was foreign to him. And the standard at the time was to write the music first and then the lyrics second, which has to be tough. One of his trademarks was he always had a pipe in his mouth. And other songs he'd written were Blue Hawaii and Bob Hope's theme song, Thanks for the Memory.
Huh. Those are both songs very well known. Well, here's mm-hmm. Chuck Vita. You'll hear a little bit of Leo Robin. Say that again.
This song is called Louise. And Every Little Breeze Seems to Whisper Louise.
Louise, da-da-da-da. That
nope,
Louise?
Nope,
no, not that
Louise.
One. A different one. Okay.
Okay.
Chuck Vita, and good morning to Tom Roberts. I'm glad you're here. Chuck is playing his own instrument. Tom said that. Did you get a new keyboard here in the studio? No, Chuck's playing his own instrument. It sounds great too this morning. Now, I did recognize that as soon as he started to play it. Da 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 da.
Yeah, it goes back.
So that's another Louise. Now the next one. I think you are probably going to know. Here in Pittsburgh, we have a theater that in part is named for him, and he's also a very well-known composer, Billy Strayhorn. And what can you tell us about him?
Well, born in 1915, and actually was born in Dayton, but he moved to Homewood. And his grandmother was his largest influence. And listened to Vitrola records and loved classical music and was, from all reports, was a very mild-mannered, hard-working, and unselfish person. Worked very hard, didn't have enough money, but worked up enough money to buy his own piano, which probably is remarkable for somebody at that time, at that level. He did have a big break with Duke Ellington's band, and Duke Ellington once remarked that Billy Strayhorn does all the work and I get to take all the bows.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, tip of the hat to somebody who does all the work.
Well, it'll be fun to listen now. You're going to play a couple songs that I think people are going to recognize without any trouble whatsoever.
Right.
And these were arranged or written by Billy Strayhorn?
Well, the first one was, they were both written. Well, they were both, he got the credits for, you know, there was a Ellington, Mercer, and Strayhorn for Satin Doll.
Mm-hmm.
And Take the A-Train is straight him. And it's interesting to learn about the A-Train going into New York. That's what they call their subway routes.
Right, right. And the A-Train, and the A-Train went to Harlem.
Right.
Or still goes.
And I thought it was kind of funny as I was looking at the words. So you must take the A-Train to go to Sugar Hill up to Harlem. I kind of thought it was a primitive GPS or MapQuest. So, you know.
Yeah, this was like your way, the mnemonic for remembering how to get from here to there.
Yeah.
The device. Well, here again, Chuck Vita, and you'll hear a couple tunes popularized by Duke Ellington and written or co-written by Pittsburgh's Billy Strayhorn. Thank you. There's Take the A Train and Satin Doll. If you're just joining us, Chuck Vida is here, and he is taking us on a bit of a musical tour through Pittsburgh. Chuck is a pretty much a lifetime piano player and has really been fascinated by Pittsburgh music for a long time. And who's our next composer?
Errol Garner.
Ah, Pittsburgh's Errol Garner. And that's the song some radio people really fear, one of his compositions, which is Play Misty for Me. We all think about that movie. Errol Garner was an interesting person. What can you tell us about him?
Well, he was an ear player. Actually, he was born in 21, and his birthday is June 15th. So, happy birthday posthumously.
Yeah.
He'll be 90. He would have been 95. So, he started playing piano at age 3 and was an ear player his entire life.
Wow.
Never learned to read music and had just relied on his superb musical memory. He didn't really write the music, but it was recorded. He was only 5'2", and he had to sit on phone books to play the piano, which I thought was, in this day and age, would be kind of hard because the phone books are getting kind of thin, so you have to have a lot of phone books.
Yeah, you'd have to sit on a stack of iPhones or something.
But he has a star in Hollywood Boulevard, and that's where he eventually ended up and lived, and he didn't sound like anyone else. He tried to bridge the gap, and he did bridge the gap for jazz musicians between the nightclubs and the concert halls. And he passed away in 77 and is now buried in Homewood Cemetery. And looking up on Find a Grave, his epitaph said he gave of himself unselfishly. And I think that's a nice and a fitting tribute for him. So.
Yeah. Well, here is Errol Garner. And I think you're going to play that composition
yep.
I just referred to.
I'll try it by ear here. Okay. All right. Here goes.
Beautiful. That is Chuck just played Misty for me. Thank you playing Misty for me. And we're just going fast and fast. We still have a few more composers to go. The next one is Aliquippa's claim to fame. There are other claims to fame, but people know Henry Mancini for his time in Aliquippa.
Henry was born in 24, and is actually his family was from Cleveland originally, but they moved to Aliquippa shortly after that. His parents were immigrant Italians, still town, hardworking, learned piano at 12, and was really obviously very talented because he made it to Juilliard, but for only 1 year because World War II happened, and he got drafted. So he was in the Army and in the infantry, but soon thereafter they said, well, you have a talent, and we'll put you in the band. So he played in the military band. So he participated. One of the things I thought was really, really admirable was he participated in the liberation of the Mauthausen-Gusen concentration camp in Austria, which is, you know, that's heroic that, you know, he was there. When he was discharged, he became a pianist and arranger for the Glenn Miller Orchestra, which was reformed after the war. And it, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have a note here about Jean Stapleton and mentioning is in the role of Edith. She mentions Henry Mancini's birthday and all the family?
Oh, yeah. There was a big line. It's a very funny line. She said, "Oh, it's Henry Mancini's birthday."
That's funny.
Yeah. So it's he died actually on the 14th of June, which is upcoming up here. He died at 70 of cancer. He did music for – wrote music for over 100 movies, 90 albums on his own. Was a pioneer of jazz, included in orchestral film scores. Very unorthodox. So naturally unorthodox.
Yeah, he really did so many different film scores. And you've got a medley of two that I think people will recognize.
Yep. First one is Moon River, which was from Breakfast at Tiffany's, the movie out of Paramount. And the second one is The Pink Panther. And that's Peter Sellers, the original funny guy. But one of the interesting things that he did as unorthodox is he used a technique called parallel fifths. And you'll hear that in – it's essentially a no-no when you're supposed to be technically writing things. But guess what? It works. So – sometimes things happen.
Here again with a couple of Mancini tunes now, Chuck Fita. Always love that ending with that
jazz
sound. I always thought that would be a nice sound for a car horn, you know, as you go through.
Very
so Chuck is now taking us. We're going to hear one of your own compositions.
Yeah, right.
Lovely. And it's called Till We Meet Again. And yeah. Was there an occasion for this?
Sort of a jazzy piece, actually. It was played with my son, Matt. We were in a small duo when he was in high school, and we played at various senior centers and places like that, small venues. And it's a jazzy piece, and it's called Till We Meet Again. But I hope you enjoy it. So. Thank you.
Very nice. Well,
thanks.
That's Chuck Vita, Till We Meet Again, his original composition, and he fits in. He's a Pittsburgh musician. It is.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
And where did you grow up, by the way?
Shaler Township.
Shaler, Millville. I seem to have remembered that, or I didn't remember, but if you're just joining us, he's taking us on a musical exploration, something a little different. Well, we always try to have something different here at SLB. And now we're going to hear two more composers from the Pittsburgh area, and then another one from Chuck to close out. Now, this next one, I kept staring at his name, and I said, I've seen this name before. Why do I know the name Jay Livingston? I'm a credit reader when TV shows come on. I read the credits, and he did some work in television theme music, right?
Right, right.
Tell us about Jay.
Well, Jay was actually born Jacob Harold Levison, and was born 1915 in McDonald, PA, and studied piano, and then ended up going to Penn. But he wrote for stage and TV, and he collaborated with his other, fellow composer, Ray Evans. And some of the music he's written was really funny theme songs. Mr. Ed.
He wrote the theme to Mr. Ed. Somebody had to write it.
Right?
He was the one.
Yep. Although he did have some nice music. One is To Each His Own. Another song I think was made famous by Doris Day and a few other folks, but it's a song called Que Sera Sera. And it's interesting that they talk about, what am I going to be in the future? And the answer is, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see.
Huge hit for Doris Day. And you have Silver Bells noted here. He wrote Silver Bells?
He wrote Silver Bells, and I'm going to be playing that today. Originally, the song was called Tinkle Bells.
Tinkle Bells.
And somebody talked them into not using the word tinkle. Obviously,
it probably sound like twinkle twinkle too. You'd get the songs confused
or tinkle.
Well, tinkle, yes. That there's liability problems, especially in the wintertime when the song.
So they went to Silver Bells.
Interesting.
And I'll play a little bit of that too. So
this is Jay Livingston from McDonald, Pennsylvania. Right.
Every time you go into Pittsburgh, you can think of Jay Livingston.
Who knew that that song had a Pittsburgh connection? And nor Que Sera Sera or Silver Bells and then the Mr. Ed theme song. I was looking to see if we had a copy of the Mr. Ed. You know what? We might. Let me just.
Okay.
I'm just going to see.
I think he actually sang that, too.
Really?
I'm not sure.
I am Mr. Ed. I don't think we do. I spoke too soon. That's Ricky, that's a serious oversight in our library not to have the Mr. Ed theme song. We'll have to take care of that. I remember a college professor in math once who I heard tell a student who had not taken a particular class, there will be serious gaps in your education if you do not take this class. And I was thinking, gosh, really? And it was like partial differential equations or something. And I don't know if she took it or not, but it's hard to believe your life could turn on that one thing. Maybe right. If you're studying math, but now next you've got a composer who I love, and I don't know if you're going to recognize this name or not, Jerome Ragni, right?
Right.
You know his music. In fact, I heard two of his compositions this week, and I didn't realize there was a Pittsburgh connection. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, Jerome grew up in East Carnegie, and I was born in 35, and large Italian family, not a lot of money. Somehow managed a way to attend Georgetown and Catholic University, but his real love was acting and stage. And he wrote the words for Hair. And I'm sure as he co-authored it, when you collaborate with people, you have to make sure that the words fit the music and the music fit the words. So I'm sure that he tweaked a few of the parts of the melody lines to fit what he wanted to have as his intention. But he must have been a very vibrant personality. When he walked down the street, everybody knew him. He had a wife, Stephanie, and his son, Eric. He died of cancer at the age of, it's interesting, somewhere between 48 and 55. Anyway, one of the things I found that was super interesting is he's buried in Holy Souls Cemetery. And his epitaph on his gravestone, it said, "What a piece of work is man." And that's a quote from Hamlet's monologue. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the name of his collaborator for Hair.
Well, there was James Ratto. And
yeah, that's who I'm thinking of.
And Galt McDermott.
Yeah, I was thinking of James Ratto. I just didn't have the name. And that play, it's... What caused me to do this? I guess there have been a lot of TV specials about 1968, and that's when Hair came out. We saw, Ricky and I saw a few comments about Hair, and I was curious what the reviews were like when Hair was first came out. And of course, the internet can bring you all those things. And I was reading the reviews, and they were really interesting to read retrospectively. A lot of them were quite good. Some, as you can imagine, were a little confused. At the time, it really changed musical theater. It was the first rock and roll musical of its day. What are you going to play?
Well, I'm going to play Good Morning Starshine. And I'd like you to kind of recite the great words that he wrote.
A dramatic read.
Of the words that he wrote to Good Morning Starshine.
Yes, so. Good Morning Starshine, the earth says, "Lo, you twinkle above us, we twinkle below." And then I'll wait till it comes to the part for the, I don't want to say it over your playing.
Go ahead.
Glitty, glub, gloopy, nibby, nappy, noopy, la, la, la. Oh, no. Glitty. let me get my breath here. Glitty, glup, gloopy, nibby, nappy, la, 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 lo, lo. Saba, sibby, saba, nooby, abba, naba, lay, lay, lo, lo. Tooby, dooby, walla, nooby, abba, naba. Early morning singing song.
Yeah.
Yes, that's their early morning singing song. I'll let you make it our early morning playing song.
Alrighty.
Now.
Okay. Thank you.
Chavita.
There you go.
From a hair. That was fun to listen to, and I like the way you did that one too. How can people? There's one more composition that Chuck's going to do, which will play us towards the top of the hour or so. How can people reach you to? I would think this would be a great presentation. Maybe at a church outing or in a personal care facility. There's lots of ideas. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, I do have a website. It's called www.charlesvitamusic.com.
Okay, and that's the easiest way. And it's a Vita, is V-I-T-A, like the Vita in CV. That could be it. You could be your CV is Chuck Vita. I never thought about it. So is it Chuck Vita Music?
Charles Vita.
Oh, Charles. Sorry. Charles Vita.
Music.
Music.
.com.
You still answered it, Chuck.
Though. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thank you
Thanks
for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's our last chance to talk here. What do you want to close up with?
It's a song called Wedding Bells, and it was a composition I wrote about 3 years ago for my son. My son's wedding with Kate, and they're in L.A. right now. But I sort of wrote it as a recessional piece, and hopefully I can do it justice to it. Okay?
Once again, Charles Vita.
Oh.
I promoted you.
Okay. Thanks.
Chuck Vita, thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
And, you know, every week somebody always amazes me with an email or a note. John Linko noted that the 70th anniversary of the death of Bertie Nevin was recently celebrated by a local history group, and he sent along an article about that.
Very good.
That I'll share with you.